back in open session at 8:37. 8:32. This is item G11 on page 341. This is special use amendment for the Rock and Ballpark Commons. And because of what we did prior to this, this is going to be unique, Mr. Fuchs and City Attorney.
So this, Mayor, as you mentioned, is a special use amendment related to the Phase 2 construction of the stadium, which would include the playing field, fences, netting, and lights, also the concrete bowl for seating in the concourse area, parking, and utilities. In the resolution, there are also the conditions related to the sound and light studies, which would be consistent with the previous action taken under the major PDD amendment. Also, the previous action now made the stadium a permitted use. So with approval of this special use, future changes to the stadium would not go through this process anymore. It would go through the site plan amendment process to the plan commission only. So this can be approved. Then the conditions within this resolution apply, along with the site plan that was approved at the last plan commission meeting.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay.
So move.
Motion. Yeah, second.
I should probably read this one. The motion to approve, adopt resolution 2018, whatever it's going to be. Motion imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of special use amendment and PDD number 37. We know it as the Rock Sports Complex Ballpark Commons, pursuant to 15-3.0442, City of Franklin Unified Development Ordinance, and resolution 2018-7339, a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a proposed outdoor baseball soccer stadium use upon a property located at 7900 West Crystal Ridge Drive to allow for construction and operation of second of three phases of a proposed stadium with a capacity of approximately 4,000 people, serve as home field for an independent minor league baseball team, the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee baseball team, and a professional and or summer college soccer team.
That's my motion.
Alderman Mayor.
So by approving this, we're approving the permitted use. We just did that, though, right?
Mr. Fuchs.
The permitted use, based on the previous action, that the stadium is now a permitted use.
So what does this do, then?
So this approval, they submitted these site plan and special use concurrently. So now the requested action that future changes to the stadium would be done by a site plan amendment. But staff would look to have the special use approval so the conditions apply that are in this resolution as well as the site plan resolution previously approved by the plan commission at their last meeting.
Okay, so this one matters now. After this wouldn't matter.
After this, correct. The state, any changes to the stadium, if they add on to it or anything like that, would be a site plan application, amendment application to the plan commission.
And this is really nothing more than we've seen already.
The applicant agrees with the conditions. The lighting and sound study matches the previous action that was taken tonight.
Okay.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Motion carries, five ayes, no noes, one absent, no abstentions. Thank you, gentlemen. Ms. Verrett, nice to see you. Item G12 on page. Next.
Right, no page number.
Is a presentation from Natalie Verrett of Miller Communications regarding the previously approved action on public safety assessment, funding options, and survey. Mark, you want to do an introduction or no? Or Adam? Okay, Natalie.
Can we all hear me?
Hello. So previously we were in front of you, as the mayor described, to talk about moving forward with the options assessment and the survey that we will look to send to the full Franklin community. You have received drafts. We've been working on these for quite some time with both the fire and police chief and the administrator and finance director to make sure we're getting a very comprehensive look at the current services provided by police and fire and EMS, and looking to see what challenges exist currently. I know there have been previous presentations to the council on that, and looking at what some of the options might be for the council to consider to meet kind of that growing community needs and the increased demand for service in those areas. So we have developed an options assessment that goes into pretty deep detail on these issues, and then the survey, we've worked with Community Perceptions, which has they've done surveys throughout the state with different communities and have an experience with getting the right methodology and making sure that we're asking questions and engaging people in that survey process. So we've provided those drafts. The mayor sent those over last week, so you've had at least a couple of days here to look at those. And our goal this evening, we're looking to finalize those with the intent of getting the survey out the week of July 9th. So needing to go to the printer here kind of the next week and a half here is our goal with that. So we're looking to kind of get overarching feedback, and as we look to do these final drafts, being able to incorporate, feedback that we received this evening. Any questions or comments, or you want to start with the survey, or any just general comments at this point?
Alderman Taylor.
Well, Alderwoman Wilhelm's not here this evening, and we wish her a happy birthday. And she made some comments in that, and I concurred, I think, with some of them.
That's in the back of your packet.
Right. The one thing I did think, and I'll let her, I'm not sure. Are we can make changes to this letter today, tonight? Is that the plan?
Well,
because, that would be, really making sauces.
We've got Alderman Wilhelm's suggestions, and I think they're all appropriate.
Yeah.
And
one thing I would add then, I'm okay with that. The one thing I would add was the first sentence, it really should say one of the top priorities of the mayor and common council. Because if the mayor and the common council president are signing it.
I'm good.
So I just thought that was something that should be added.
Yep.
Because, it's the seven of us doing
absolutely
it.
Absolutely.
And I don't think that was omitted on purpose. It just, it should be,
I'm good.
Okay.
One issue that we still have to work out is in the second paragraph, the bolded sentence that says, we did not raise municipal property tax rate. The property tax rate did change various ways. So we need to generate some new wording that reflects that we didn't raise municipal spending, and even that is arguable. So we can put the words tax levy in there. I got to rely on the folks at Miller to determine whether that's descriptive enough or not.
Mm-hmm. And
it is the most legitimate sentence, but.
And we have evolved as throughout the different drafts where we've come to with that language. One of my concerns, I guess, are the word levy. I'm not sure that people that sticks with folks as much as didn't raise taxes, didn't raise tax rate. But we definitely can kind of go back and take a look and do language, and certainly would welcome if there are suggestions from the council at all too.
Well, we didn't raise taxes. Those were all zeros, weren't they? 13, 14, 15.
Yeah, but people's tax bill could have and probably didn't.
Well, that was due to assessments and that.
Right.
That was not due. So, as a body, those are all zeros. 13, you weren't here. 14 was your first one. 15, 13.
Tax levy didn't change since
2012. Yeah, those are all,
But what we're trying to do is protect us from the arguments. We're trying to make it neutral and honest, straightforward, and not get into the minutiae debate.
Of the assessments and things like that.
That's Mark.
And then it would probably be total municipal property taxes.
I don't know if he's here.
But That's what we did. We kept our municipal property tax collection the same during that period.
That's good language as far as I'm concerned. Chief, you okay? You didn't care.
I mean, what are we looking for? I mean, I think what was presented to us was good. I mean, we've been talking about needing to do something. Are you asking for input on the surveys from each of us? I mean, or what?
We don't want to do wholesale changes, but yes, we're looking for some. We want you guys to look at it, understand what's going on, and say, yes, works for me, or boy, I have heartburn about something or other.
I'm,
we need to get moving on.
Well, I'm okay with then. If you want my opinion, I think this is make whatever changes you have to do on the letter. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, the way the questions are asked, are they going to have some of the charts in that included with the?
So what you're seeing is the survey there. As you see in the letter, it does reference the full options assessment, which is that, you know, 20-plus page
document. That will go online.
Online, yep. And we do, as you concede, we do try to carry over some of the charts and you know, make that happen. We're just limited on space and want to make sure people are reading, you know, those base that base information, but we do direct folks to that.
Okay, were you behind the South Milwaukee? Were you working? Did you work on the South Milwaukee? What kind of feedback did you guys get on these surveys? What percentage of people returned them?
Sure, they actually had about 15% respond, and that's 15% is a big number. So you know, what some of the ways we will work to make sure that folks know about the survey, we will do a news release. We'll work to make sure we've got things on social media. We can make a flyer that's at the library, municipal buildings, places that people are going. If any of you have social media, I mean, we certainly could provide content and graphics to help promote that. And certainly, anything you could do to tell your constituents that the survey's out there. We'll keep it open for a little over 2 weeks. It's kind of found the survey vendor that's done this everywhere. They try for 3 weekends over the course of 2 weeks, so about 17 days is what we're looking at. So we'd look to have, this would hit the week of the 9th, and then the deadline we're looking at right now is July 30th.
So then basically, is this like the playbook you guys used in South Milwaukee, essentially?
We did use this process, yes.
Okay, so we're going to do what they did in South Milwaukee. We're going to collect the data, and then from that, we're going to determine what our questions are going to be on the ballot. Is that how we're going
to
do this?
You're going to have to determine if you want to go to referendum.
If you want to go
to
referendum, and then the question based on what we get back. Okay.
And then the future contract is potentially employing Miller to help us with the
educational
messaging.
Public engagement. Because we can't advocate.
Right, and really looking at that. And we've got, the basis of the education piece here, but, if you all decide to go forward
with
a
referendum. Well, the numbers speak for themselves, how we are compared to other communities. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not,
right.
We're not making this stuff up.
Right.
Okay. I like it.
So the one other issue that I haven't spoken with Natalie about is, we're having a big party on the 4th of July here. Mm-hmm. It'd be great if we had some posters.
Oh, sure.
Survey.
Yeah.
Anybody object to that?
No.
Anybody object?
No.
Mark, you have a question?
Yeah, I just have a question. Now, if we're going to direct them to our report, and we're showing 40% population growth from 1995 on forward, and then we're showing 143% growth in service calls, so a mix of where they are.
That's far.
We're also showing that we've got in excess of 50% growth in personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, we've kind of sustained through the time with our population mm-hmm. growth. So, as we all get questions,
yep.
That's going to be a tricky hurdle.
Sure. And I will say, we've been going through this process for a while, and I've got a lot of numbers and all this in my head. I have looked at, too, because if you really look at the last, a little about 10 to 12 years, the fire staffing has been at 44. So it has maintained at that level. While there's still been an increase, I don't know if I have the numbers right in front of me, but... And I think that is part of this conversation, too. If we look back to 1995, 1996, you see that big 143% to 140%, but if you look at even just the last 12 years, your staffing has gone up since 2006 5% and maintained that really the last 10 years at 44. Your population has gone up by 10%, but the calls for service are still up 43%. I know I'm looking at a lot of numbers, but so we can do some things to revise that graph and make sure that you all are able to talk about that too, you know, and that you feel comfortable with what's in the survey and that we can give you those responses, you know, to make sure you've got the information to talk with your constituents about it. And one of the charts, too, that's in the options assessment, I'm going to pull a page number here in a second. Are your page numbers the same as my page numbers? I know there's been a lot. On page 4 there, you kind of, this is the raw data for those graphs that you're looking at. So, I mean, when you look and you start looking at, you know, 2006 there, you've got 42. For the last 10 years, you've been at 44 staffing level, and you still continue to grow in population and still continue to grow in that call for service exponentially even over. And I think that's the story we want to make sure people know is your population's going up, your calls for service are growing exponentially, but you've maintained that staff level, and it is really stretching those limits there. Is that answering your question or not?
Oh, no, I know that there's a very flat period in history from 09 to 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, there is potentially a lot of approved projects that are definitely, as the mayor alluded to earlier, are going to affect decisions that we've made and are going to affect our needs in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, it takes time to prepare the staff and get the staff in place. Mm-hmm. So we are ready as these developments start to be sold and bodies are in these buildings. So, okay. No, I know how I can get about it.
Yeah, making sure
everybody
people.
Else is also in tune with how to address some of these questions.
I think Clear Meadows was built in 1997. When this started going up. Yeah, old guy.
We will get the final version of this before it goes out.
Sure, we can make sure that that goes to the council, that you have that. What was that? Yes, and the mayor, that you have that final version. Like I said, our goal would be to be going to print with this next week so we can meet that goal to have it out the week of the 9th.
And Miller's going to pretty this up and use the appropriate
book. Yes, there will be.
I just wanted to clarify for the record with question. It would be distributed to you each before it goes to the mail, but not back to a council.
Right, I understand.
I just wanted to make sure.
That's a good clarification.
That's what I was asking.
Alderman Mayor. Yes, you can steal this for cutting.
What are you going to do?
Anybody else? Chief?
I would just like to state fire we had the other day where we got two of our people hurt is a good example of the position we're already in right now.
This was the fire at the woods. Are you all aware of that? Fatality?
Were we emailed this?
Yes. Yes.
And did it talk about the injuries in there?
Yes.
It did. Okay, yeah.
So, given that background.
So, when this fire came in, our crews were split up handling various existing calls. Nobody was in the station together to respond as a full company. They had to assemble on the scene, which puts us already behind the eight ball. And the argument is always that, well, there's also mutual aid, always mutual aid to rely on. And in this case, our two closest mutual aid partners, one of which would have been the second right there, had to pass on that call, which that all contributed to the way it ended up. So I just wanted to make that point. We're already in that situation where we're scrambling to cover our EMS call volume at the expense of almost everything else. And when we do get a fire, and people say, well, you guys don't fight fires anymore, when we have an occupant trapped in a residence, we do have to fight the fire. And we do have to go in against, you know, conditions that are working against us. And that sometimes gets lost on this. So
you remember at our our fire ops day when you were chasing me in that dark building?
With the axe, yeah. Remember
that. We had three firefighters in that experience, and they could not find the door.
Wow.
So they ended up diving out the window. But that's serious stuff.
Yeah.
And they were friendly to each other, and they still had troubles.
Hey, we were fine. I mean, kept on, like, kicking me, though. I mean, I was just...
I was trying to move real fast with Taylor with an axe behind me. Alderman Dandrea.
I know people are also going to ask, have we looked at other alternatives?
That's in the needs analysis.
That's going to be in the needs analysis.
Go ahead.
Consolidation has been looked at by the Public Policy Forum a few years ago now. The point is we're all shorthanded and we're all busy, and to combine into one bigger entity that's shorthanded and busy doesn't really gain us anything. I mean, there are opportunities to work better, to improve and save costs, but as far as personnel, we're all short right now and we're all getting busier. So it is addressed in there, but I don't know.
So one of the things I would say is, you know, as you are looking at these documents, you'll notice starting on page 13 of that longer document, we do talk about the different options, and that's the idea behind the options assessment is we didn't just jump to the place where the only answer is let's have a referendum. It was, you know, can we maintain the status quo, and what are the potential impacts of that? It's do we make cuts to other areas to be able to add additional staff? And then looking at the potential of a referendum to do that, and then the fourth being consolidation. So what you'll notice is that the survey lines up where option one under police, it lines up with the options assessment. It's a much consolidated, you know, narrative on that so that it can fit there. But it does give the opportunity for folks to be able to go online and take that deep dive and understand kind of how those different options would play out.
Last night was a good example, too, of what the chief highlights where everybody's short. You know, during that storm, I had my scanner going. Every community had rigs in other communities, and everybody was covering each other. It was crazy. I don't know if you heard
a lot of people had to take baths and move on to further away resources.
Yep.
That's kind of a unique situation in a storm like that because, that puts everybody on the hook all at once, and nobody's really set up to be able to support that. So.
And even Chief Remington responded, so that's... Get your hands dirty. John, Alderman Nelson.
On my nearly 9 years in the Fire and Police Commission, that has been brought up a few times about, you know, merging municipalities. And the first time it was brought up, and it was pretty strong, just when the chief, your predecessor, was retiring, that was brought up strong. And we combated that because we, at the time, had the quickest response time, newest equipment, and we were fully staffed, so we were going to lose. Mm-hmm. And my opinion, and it still stands, if it sounds whatever it sounds, I could care less. I want our community safe. I want our taxpayers and residents to know that they've got quickest response times, best equipment, and that's it. And that's what I also stress, you know, being a lifelong resident here, that's how important that is and one of the reasons why we do what we do. And so I caution those people when they go down that road of, you know, we are the ones that would suffer from response time calls than another municipality that we merge with. Absolutely, we would.
That's
we would
correct.
Take on many more calls, and we don't want to do that.
And
the reality, you know, mayors talk all the time about how do we do things better, faster, cheaper, and consistently on the south side. The south side mayors are pretty good working together, and we all agree that unless we could save the municipality money and provide a better service, it's not worth talking.
Never about. Gonna happen.
And there is some conversations, I can't talk about them now, but there is some conversations about another suburb in us, but that's as far as I'm going to go, just to let you know that there are conversations. Alderman Dandrea?
Another comment. You got to figure out, you got to put a value on saving your life. If it's $1 million and there's 10,000 households, it's $100 a year. Do you want them to save your life for $100 more a year? I think you'd probably say yes, because these guys are well trained. So, you know,
have to tell you, I have to give credit to my wife because I wasn't thinking that way. But since I'm at the age that I'm at, she said, hey, they might be saving your life, so for $100, you better vote in favor of it. So,
Alderman Mayer and then Alderman Taylor.
Chief Remington hit the nail on the head with consolidation. I forget exactly how you said it, but it was very articulate. You got a department that's already short-staffed. You combine it with another department that's short-staffed and busy, and you've got a consolidated department that's still short-staffed and busy. There's no question that if consolidation done correctly is a good thing. Nobody wants to do it correctly. They want to save money, as you said, because that's the logical thing. But you can't save money. You can't take a short-staffed department and combine it with another short-staffed department. You need to add people and do the consolidation right, and that just is not going to happen. So that's it.
How many years ago did we do that study? Yeah, so, I mean, and the numbers didn't make sense. We were the biggest losers, and we're the biggest losers in that thing. And, yeah, I mean, huge losers. And I think we all take a look at working together with our communities and in ways we do. But in that case, you know, that didn't work for us, that's for sure. And that kind of just died then. And then, I mean, at some point, you know, the county could get out of their obligations. I mean,
could
I think it's
will,
I would say. I mean, not could. I mean, I think it's going to happen. That may force our hands on how we operate differently, but I think we have to make ourselves whole and go into with that advantage. And, you know, if there is talk with another municipality, then we address that when it comes our way. But I think some of the people that I've talked to, that I talk to on a regular basis, I've kind of addressed this subject matter with them, and not one even blinked at the cost because they value, you know, because how many fires do you put out a year? It's how many lives you actually save. It's a person that has a stroke or a heart attack that if you're not there, they're not, the end result is not good. The percentage is dramatically. So people see that value because, I mean, you know, it's a 36,000 population, but everybody seems to know everybody in one way, shape, or form, or someone that's had you guys save a life or be involved. And that just, whether in this community or another community, and so we become paramedics. That's what we are. We're paramedics. We save lives, but maybe not in fires, like, because our fire codes are so much better than they used to be and the way things are built. So I think, you know, if 2/3 of South Milwaukee, you know, I mean, that's a great number. I don't know if we'll be as high as Franklin. I mean, I would say that we probably, if you do it right, I think people value that service we provide for the cost.
Without objection, we'll move forward.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Thank you, Natalie.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Gotta make sure we get through that stuff. See you, Todd. Item H.
All right. Okay. The first two. Hold for appearance. They were a no-show. Could arrive 5 minutes later. Then the next two, which is Rita, they're the same person. They'll approve of the letter.
Alderman Taylor, the first two being
the one person.
Roush's,
yeah, both
Roush and Heisman.
No, so Evan are both hold for. It's one person. First two spots. So
okay.
Evan is hold for appearance. Rita is approve of the letter. All the rest are approve, except for Vincent at the bottom. He is hold for appearance. Page one. Page two, all are approved except for third from the bottom. He has to come in and correct his application.
Could you just say his name? So we're
oh, sure. Michael Lloyd.
Okay.
He has to show up or at least come here and correct his application. On the back side, he did not fill out that he
disclosed
a, you know, previous event offense.
So you're holding it or approving
it? I'm approving it. I said approve with corrected application. He's got to come into your office and fill that out. I wasn't clear. Okay, page three. First three are approve, and then the fourth one is Peter. He's hold for appearance, and all the rest then are approved.
Is that Peter Munshaw?
Peter Munshaw. And then page four, all of them are approved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I-1, vouchers and payroll. Let me get the page. Okay, we've got a lot here. Is there a motion approving the following? City vouchers with any date of June 14, 2018, amount of $789,828.49. And payroll dated June 8, 2018, the amount of $394,681.53. And payments to various payroll deductions in the amount of $217,846.85, plus city matching payments and estimated payroll for June 22nd, estimated at $393,000, payments to various payroll deductions, estimated $409,000, plus city matching payments, and estimated payroll dated July 6th, estimated at $388,000, and payments to various payroll deductions, estimated at $216,000, plus city matching payments, and estimated payroll dated July 20th, in the amount of estimated $403,000, plus payments of various payroll deductions estimated at $412,000 plus city matching payments. And estimated property tax refunds and settlements with the ending date of June 15th in the amount of $1,408,219.05 and release of the payment to Wesolowski, Reidenbach, and Sadak for legal services not to exceed $30,000. And release of the library vouchers upon approval of the library board and release of the 2018 Franklin Civic Celebrations deposits and prepaid payments not to exceed $69,800.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderman Nelson.
Aye.
Five ayes, no noes, one absent, no abstention. Motion carries. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.